The sermon text for this morning is the reading, Job chapter 1 and all the way through Job chapter 2, verse 10. So the reading is from the book of Job, beginning at the beginning of chapter 1 and going all the way through chapter 2, verse 10, the sections where Job comes to suffer a great many things. But this is the reading of God's word, so please give your attention to it as such. Job chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 10. This is God's word. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. There were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He possessed 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. His sons used to go and hold a feast in the house of each one on his day, and they would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when the days of the feast had run their course, Job would send and consecrate them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." Thus Job did continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing, and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil? He still holds fast his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without reason." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. All that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand. Only spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with loathsome sores from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took a piece of broken pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the ashes. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women would speak. Shall we receive good from God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Well, if there ever had been a man born in Adam's line, in the way that made him just ordinary, who could have avoided all suffering by being righteous, then Job is that man, you would think. Look how righteous Job is, and how his righteousness is true righteousness, not just a show of fake righteousness. Everything in that first chapter of Job shows that Job is sincere in the righteousness that he has. Verse 1 describes him as blameless and upright. And that's a description to take at face value. Job is truly blameless. He is truly upright. The text simply says it and is speaking truly when it does. But also, Job's uprightness comes out quite clearly in what unfolds in chapter 1 of the text. One way we see Job's uprightness there in our text is through what he does in verse 5 and in verse 6. In those verses, verses 5 and 6 of chapter 1, Job makes sacrifice for his kids just in case they have sinned. Preemptive sacrifice for sin that might have been or else might not have been. Job doesn't know, but he makes sacrifice anyway. What this shows is how deeply God cares about pleasing his God. He's so concerned that his kids not offend God that he'll offer sacrifice even just in case they have sinned, not even knowing for sure that they did, but still doing it just in case and not even asking them. And again, what this shows is that Job really cares about God with sincerity. Job's truly upright. It's not just a show that Job is putting on here. He really is righteous. That shouldn't be questioned. You also see that Job is righteous by what the Lord says up in heaven, right there in verse 8 of chapter 1. The Lord says there to the devil that Job is a servant of God who's the most righteous on the earth in that day. Isn't that essentially what the Lord's words imply? Now, that's a pretty remarkable thing, isn't it? For God to hold up this man above all the others alive on the earth in this day, Job is singled out as the one, the most righteous of all in this day. And so highly does God think of Job and his righteousness that here he chooses to use him in a challenge with the devil. This man is so righteous that God deems him worthy of using him to contest Satan's doubts and Satan's charges and Satan's accusations and insinuations. Again, that's remarkable for a man who is just an ordinary man to be used in this way. So we see Job stands out on the earth for true righteousness. This is clear from what the Lord says in heaven. Yet, even though this man stands out for his righteousness, this doesn't keep him from having to suffer, does it? For even still, for all the ways Job is righteous, he still ends up losing so much under God's hand. And yet, the thing is that his righteousness only stands out even more after all that he loses. For when the time comes for Job to survey what he's lost, what does he do? He only blesses God. He will not curse his God. Losing his animals, servants, and children, he blesses the Lord in verse 21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, he says, and naked shall I return. And the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. But still Job speaks a blessing upon the Lord's name in that verse. It's the same also in verse 10 of chapter 2, where Job once again refuses to curse the Lord. There he loses his health, the support of his wife. Even still, Job refuses to speak ill of God. He continues to hold fast to God in that moment. And what this shows is Job's remarkable righteousness. By holding fast to the Lord, even in what he loses, Job shows that the Lord was correct. When God told Satan that Job really was righteous, and that Job was a true servant of God who had true love for God. See, Satan had questioned if Job was sincere. He had wondered if Job only served God because God had blessed Job and prospered him, keeping him safe from loss. But how Job responds to his sufferings puts to rest Satan's doubts, Satan's accusations, Satan's insinuations. And yet, even with this being true about Job, that he is truly righteous and it's not a show, this did not preclude him losing almost all that he had. Since righteous Job loses everything in this text. Someone as righteous as Job in our text loses 10,000 animals, multiple servants, and 10 adult children in one afternoon. Righteous Job loses everything. Nothing is spared. Also then, on that second occasion, he loses his health. He gets covered in painful, deep sores. And his wife turns against him when he needs her the most, when he trusts in God. She's done trusting God. And this is where he ends up after all else that he lost. You see, beloved, if righteousness could prevent suffering in this life, you would expect Job to not have to suffer. But Job, who is righteous, still suffers great loss. Even though he is righteous, he still suffers loss. But the question is, why? Why has Job lost all this? What is God's purpose in the loss Job suffers here? One thing that we should notice is that it is not due to sin that Job suffers, or because he's not righteous. After all, notice it's actually the opposite. Job actually suffers because he is righteous. The reason God let Satan cause Job to suffer is because God's pleased with Job, not that Job sinned. If you know much at all about this book of Job, then you know that Job's friends will accuse him of sinning, and that they will think that he's hiding some sin, and that that's what explains all the loss that Job's suffered. But here in Job 1 and 2, it is made clear that the reason Job suffers is actually because he's righteous. It's because God has become so pleased with him that Job becomes the target of all Satan's fury. So one thing to note is that Job does not suffer for sin, but for righteousness. That's why he suffers. He suffers because the Lord is pleased with him, not because the Lord has been offended by him. Yet another thing to keep in mind also is that God does have a plan to restore all Job's fortunes. When this book plays out by the end of the book, God restores what Job lost and gives it back in the end. So the fact that Job is righteous and that he suffers should be seen as something that is only for a time. God will not leave righteous people to suffer forever. He will prosper them in the end. But the last thing to notice is that although Job here is truly a righteous man, his righteousness can't prevent him from suffering because his righteousness still isn't good enough to achieve that. After all, Job is still just a regular man. Although righteous, a man who has fallen in Adam, a man who has not done enough to win eternal life or all safety from suffering loss. Only one man could do that, and that man is not Job. Although Job is righteous, it's still not enough to win eternal safety from suffering forever. Only one man, Jesus Christ, could do that. But beyond all this, why is Job suffering loss? It turns out that there is something more to the why of it. Job suffers as a display of God's glory. Job suffers to show that the Lord is worth serving. Job demonstrates that God is worth it to serve, even in times when he is not giving his blessings. Remember the charge that was made by the devil, that Job only serves God because the Lord prospers him. Well, that Job holds fast even when God withdraws blessing shows Satan that he has misjudged this man, Job. But this also shows, at the very same time, that the devil has misjudged the glory of God. That Job holds fast to God while God withdraws his blessings shows that God is worthy still when he withdraws his gifts. That God himself alone is worthy to be praised and worshiped by those who come to know him. And in this, as Job serves this purpose, here Job serves as a prototype of what God has in mind for his church, those saved by Jesus Christ. Job is a servant of God with a status of righteousness that is known only in heaven, who suffers to demonstrate God's glory to those who are up in heaven, these heavenly beings, those sons of God mentioned in the text. He is a servant of God who suffers with this righteous status without understanding all the reasons why, and this is what we are called to as God's church in Christ. In Ephesians, the third chapter, in the 10th verse, Paul says that God has purposes known up in heaven concerning his church, in whom he demonstrates the very center of his wisdom. And that up in heaven, God uses his church to showcase his glory, his wisdom, to these heavenly beings. Isn't that exactly what's happening in the book of Job? God is demonstrating his wisdom through his righteous servant, demonstrating his wisdom and his glory to heavenly beings. We, just like Job, are used by God to showcase his wisdom to beings assembled in heaven. That's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. And we are used in this way, much like Job, often without understanding what God's doing or why. In this, we're just like Job, as a people who have a great status of righteousness known up in heaven. Our suffering isn't because heaven rejects us, but like Job, because God's pleased with us through Christ. God's purpose is to showcase us to those in heaven as trophies of his, who display his glory, who shut down the charges like that made by Satan, that it's not worth serving God if he won't prosper you. No, in us, God upholds his own glorious worth, using us to show that he is worth it to serve, even when we are suffering under his hand, without our understanding the why, much like Job. And all this is part of God's own great glorious plan to bring us to the day when we will come to him, when we'll enter his presence to serve him forever, a people redeemed by the blood of the Savior, who went about serving God here on the earth, even when they were suffering under his sovereignty. People whose righteous status was secure in heaven, even if people on earth might sometimes feel cause to question whether these people can really be the target of God's pleasure, the target of God's affection. All of that will be revealed on that day that is to come. Heaven's purposes, what God was doing with our lives, God's pleasure with us in it all and through it all, our great status of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Even though in this life, we, like Job, often suffered great loss. On the day that is to come, we will come to see how God was at work glorifying himself in us and through us in all that we suffered. How he was using even our sufferings to showcase his glory to beings in heaven, perhaps even unbeknownst to us. Much the way he used Job with Satan. And Job never came to understand his sufferings, even to the end of his life. Not until he went into glory was Job able to understand his sufferings. The same may yet be true for us, and the same surely is true to some degree for us. And when that day comes that our God is bringing us to, we will on that day praise God, glorify him on that day even more than we did in this life. We will confess on that day that all our sufferings were worth it to serve this God. But then also, when that day arrives, we will be there to witness the thing that Job longed for, the thing that we ourselves long for so often. A time and a place when the righteous will never suffer again. And that's because when the day comes that we are all waiting for, we will on that day enter the life that Christ has won for us by his perfect righteousness that is so much better than the righteousness of Job. And the life that Christ has won for us is a life where there is true absence of suffering forever. Clothed with Christ's perfect status, we'll then get his reward. Perfect life without suffering loss anymore. Perfect blessing from God and from being with God in his presence. From that day on, he will prosper us always. And even though it is worth it to serve him at times when he doesn't prosper us in this life, then he will be pleased to prosper us forevermore in perfect blessing. And on that day, we will take pleasure in blessing his name. Yes, may we do so today, may we do so now. But on that day, our words will echo the words of Job in a much more glorious fashion, as we will bless the name of the Lord for all of that entire age, the entirety of the life to come. We will rejoice in the God who has freed us from all suffering, and we will live before him forevermore to praise his name. Church of God, that day that I'm speaking of is the day that God has destined you for as your great inheritance through the righteousness of Christ, your Savior. That day is promised as a day of blessing to all who trust in the work of Christ. A day of blessing, a day of being with God. It is foreshadowed here in the book of Job. Well, may it please our God to bring all of us to that day by his grace, even though our road might lead through hardships. May it please God to sustain us as his servants, those who serve him, yes, even in suffering, those who serve him all to display his glory in us. May it please him to use us in this way until that day. Amen. Let's pray.